Jackdaws by Ken Follett, read by Amelia Fox. Exactly 50 women were sent into France as secret agents by the Special Operations Executive during the Second World War. Of those, 36 survived the war. The other 14 gave their lives. This book is dedicated to all of them. The first day. Sunday, 28th of May, 1944. Chapter 1. 1 minute before the explosion, the square at Saint-Cécile was at peace. The evening was warm, and a layer of still air covered the town like a blanket. The church bell tolled a lazy beat, calling worshippers to the service with little enthusiasm. To Félicité Claret, it sounded like a countdown. The square was dominated by the 17th century chateau, a small version of Versailles. It had a grand projecting front entrance and wings on both sides that turned right angles and tailed off rearwards. There was a basement and two main floors topped by a tall roof with arched dormer windows. Félicité, who was always called Flick, loved France. She enjoyed its graceful buildings, its mild weather, its leisurely lunches, its cultured people. She liked French paintings, French literature, and stylish French clothes. Visitors often found the French people unfriendly, but Flick had been speaking the language since she was 6 years old, and no one could tell she was a foreigner. It angered her that the France she loved no longer existed. There was not enough food for leisurely lunches, the paintings had all been stolen by the Nazis, and only the whores had pretty clothes. Like most women, Flick was wearing a shapeless dress whose colours had long ago been washed to dullness. Her heart's desire was that the real France would come back. It might return soon, if she and people like her did what they were supposed to. She might not live to see it. Indeed, she might not survive the next few minutes. She was no fatalist. She wanted to live. There were 100 things she planned to do after the war. Finish her doctorate, have a baby, see New York, own a sports car, drink champagne on the beach at Cannes. But if she were about to die, she was glad to be spending her last few moments in a sunlit square, looking at a beautiful old house with the lilting sounds of the French language soft in her ears. The chateau had been built as a home for the local aristocracy, but the last Comte de Saint-Cécile had lost his head on the guillotine in 1793. The ornamental gardens had long ago been turned into vineyards, for this was wine country, the heart of the Champagne district. The building now housed an important telephone exchange, cited here because the government minister responsible had been born in Saint-Cécile. When the Germans came, they enlarged the exchange to provide connections between the French system and the new cable route to Germany. They also sited a Gestapo regional headquarters in the building, with offices on the upper floors and cells in the basement. 4 weeks ago, the chateau had been bombed by the Allies. Such precision bombing was new. The heavy four-engined Lancasters and flying fortresses that roared high over Europe every night were inaccurate. They sometimes missed an entire city.